Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, and welcome to summer. Yesterday was nice. Yesterday was summer-like. Today is summer from the get-go. I don't know what time you got up and stepped out on the back porch today, but boy, for me, and I get up in the middle of the night, it was still dark when I came to work, and it was 60 degrees. I mean, it was an incredible feeling. For the first time ever, we get kind of used to this as we get into June and July, but mid-May, pretty nice, pretty nice. A couple of summer-like days for you, and then we'll get back to more normal temperatures. We have a good lineup of guests to talk with you today. We're going to be talking with some folks from the Butler County Symphony Board in just a moment. A little bit later on the program, Stephen Hupp joins us. We'll be talking about child development, specifically myths of child development. What do we think we know about child development, but we don't really? In fact, maybe the opposite is true. We'll talk with Stephen Hupp about that. And on the final portion of the program today, guests to tell us about a wonderful event this Saturday, the Spring Garden Market and Home Show that's coming up at Alameda Park. We'll get all of the details on that. But first, two guests join us, both members of the Butler Symphony Board. We say hello to Gary Kleeman. Gary, good to see you again. Nice to have you here.
Wonderful to be here, Dave. Nice to see you again.
And Connie Downs also. Connie, I say the same. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too, in person.
Yeah. Yeah, Connie and I talk on the phone with relative frequency, mm-hmm. but often we don't see each other face-to-face. Unless we happen to be singing together somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes
true.
Happens, yes, which happened at Easter time.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you folks are here to talk about the Symphony Association's lunchtime summer concert series, which I think is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this has been going on, Connie, for as long as I can remember. Here,
I think about 30 years, I've been told. It's a great outreach. It's part of our outreach opportunities with the symphony. And it's really just a nice, relaxing, bring your lunch, hear some local musicians, and here's some different kinds of music. Mm-hmm. There's jazz, there's folk, there's classical music. We have some of our own musicians from the symphony. It's just a great opportunity. I think people really enjoy it. And I know some friends who bring their children to the symphony office and just hang out. There were some dancers last year, weren't there, Gary?
Absolutely.
Some small children dancers.
We have the children dancing in the symphony office, which is always entertaining, and it brings them into the world of Butler music.
Yeah. When does the summer concert series kick off, Gary Kleeman?
June 7th, Wednesday, June 7th. They're all Wednesday concerts, and they start at noon, and they run till 1 o'clock. And we're running this year from June 7th through September the 27th.
Well, that's an extended season then,
It's
huh?
an extended yeah. season mm-hmm. this year.
June, July, August, almost four full months. That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the admission cost for these Wednesday noon hour concerts?
Well, we've decided this year to make the price absolutely zero, haven't we?
We have.
As
we
always have.
As we always do.
They've always been free, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And they are indoors, right?
The concerts are held inside the symphony office, but we also broadcast to the Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So those who take their lunch in the park can enjoy the music as well. But the concerts are held in the symphony office, in the air-conditioned comfort of the symphony office.
Absolutely.
I'm not a big fan of air conditioning myself, but I understand that the majority of the world is.
Mm-hmm.
So
some people enjoy it.
I will acquiesce to that. Not that I like, 95-degree temperatures either. But so you can go inside. By the way, the symphony office is right on the Diamond, the corner there. And for you folks who have lived around Butler for a long, long time, it once was a drugstore. It was mm-hmm. a Davy and Hilliard mm-hmm. Rexall, is that right?
Yeah, Davy and Hilliard Rexall before the Butler Symphony Association.
Well, there's a name out of the past, Rexall. I don't even think that exists anymore. Mm-hmm. That's probably been bought by Kraft or somebody. But at any rate, the Symphony Association purchased that building some years ago, maybe at least 20 years ago, and did a marvelous job in renovating it. I think it has long been one of the architectural gems of the downtown. I'm big on preserving beautiful buildings mm-hmm. and not covering them up with, aluminum facades like happened to, I can talk about a building that's no longer there anymore. The Woolworth Building, the 5 and 10. Mm-hmm. That was a fairly beautiful building that they covered with these silver aluminum panels, and it just was grotesque. And eventually they failed and started to fly off in the wind, and they had to walk off the sidewalk and everything else, and the building's long gone now. But next time you're downtown, even if you're in the car, if you're stopped at the red light, especially if you're walking, take a look at the beauty of that building, the architectural, the little fancy cornices and the wonderful paint job that the Symphony Association did on the trim. It's really very nice.
Absolutely agree with that. Mm-hmm.
So that's where the office is, where the concerts are. However, the music is piped live outside into Jason Diamond Park, which is just right across the alley.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, can we talk a little bit about the schedule? Some folks maybe want to mark their calendar in particular for something that would be interested in. A lot of folks, I imagine, would come down to several of these if they happen to be mm-hmm. free on a Wednesday. And I'm not sure whether your lead-off artist is Irish, but she has a beautiful Irish name, Maeve Barry.
Maeve Barry is a young, very, very talented classical pianist. She's currently, I believe, a student at Penn State mm-hmm. and is highly skilled, so we're starting off with a classical piano program. June 4th is Pure Harmony. That's a violinist and cellist. The violinist Stephanie Franzen is one of our symphony violinists. Again, two very talented people. The NKC Trio on June 21st are three of our symphony musicians. Christy Kekshkemethi on the violin, Virginia Netchai on the flute, and Gloria Cacheres on cello. So again, that's a classical program.
It's an interesting combination. Violin, flute, and cello.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful combination.
An interesting
it is beautiful.
Sound, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Now, is this what you, for those of us who aren't tremendously knowledgeable about classical music, is that a typical chamber grouping or not necessarily so?
I don't think it's necessarily so. But they do a beautiful job with it, and there are different groupings, different small groupings in the classical world. Of course, the string quartet is probably the most famous, mm-hmm. But there's been pieces written for all sorts of small combinations.
Maybe I'm misusing that term chamber. I always thought of that as mm-hmm. kind of a small, you know, a small intimate group as opposed to, you know, half the orchestra or full orchestra. Maybe my terminology is incorrect. I'm not sure.
Well, mine could be as well, so you're in good company.
Mm-hmm. Well, the important thing is, I don't know, to me at least, there's a certain pleasure in vocal music sometimes if you have a small group. It could be soprano, alto, baritone, if you had mm-hmm. three people, or if you had four parts. But, and Connie is a singer, you can agree with me on this. Sometimes you can hear the individual parts mm-hmm. much better.
In a smaller group.
Yes, mm-hmm. and if the people are skilled and play together regularly, then there's a great synchronicity there, and it's really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I suppose that could be the case with a grouping like this as well.
Absolutely. You've got different timbres occurring in different frequency ranges. The violin and the flute and the cello make a beautiful combination. And, of course, these three players are exceptional players. They are very fine musicians, highly trained, highly skilled, and they're always a delight to listen to.
Rounding out the last Wednesday in the month of June for the free lunchtime concert, the Windsor Brass Quintet.
Led by Fred Vero, and Fred, of course, is one of our brass players with the symphony, and he's a very well-known person locally. and a very good player. And
trumpet player.
Trumpet
and,
player.
He also has, I don't know what the proper name for this instrument is, he has a toy trumpet. That's what I call it. You ever see Fred's toy trumpet?
No, I haven't.
It's not a toy. It's a real trumpet, but it's a miniature.
Is it a cornet, maybe?
It was sometimes called a pocket trumpet, and there was a great jazz player, Don Cherry, who was famous for playing not only trumpet and cornet, but pocket trumpet.
Yeah.
So for jazz aficionados, we immediately associate that with the great Don Cherry.
I did not know that name. But, you know what a full-size trumpet looks like. Mm-hmm. And a cornet is very similar. When Fred pulls out the little one,
there's something special going on. I'll have to look
that one up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great player. I've known Fred for a long time.
Oh, and Andy's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a completely different tack than the NKC trio. It's a lot of brass. And for those of you who love brass and like to listen to great players, that's a great concert.
Mm-hmm. That's the month of June. In July, there are also four Wednesdays, starting with July 5th. So that means the holiday, Independence Day, is going to be on a Tuesday this year. I haven't looked that far ahead on my calendar. Mm-hmm. That'll probably be a super long holiday weekend for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They'll take Monday off. So come back from the holiday weekend, and you can hear... Oh, it looks like a vocal group, Gary.
Ah, here we go. For those who love vocal music and small group vocal music, this is Men's A Cappella. They call themselves Rock Bottom, and they are led by the great Brian Helsel. And Brian, of course, is an educator at Butler Senior High School. I believe right now he's the head of the music department, is involved in tons and tons of musical activities, mm-hmm. from choirs to orchestras. He's a great pianist.
Composer. He's composed. Mm-hmm.
Composer, yeah. Singer, and he is the symphony's go-to pianist on all occasions. And, and Brian is recently married to a great vocalist named Heather Helsel. And they are expecting their first child. Otherwise, Heather would be singing with us again this year. She is also a great vocalist. So if you enjoy great vocal singing with highly trained and skilled singers, July 5th is your date.
And this is a cappella.
A cappella. Mm-hmm.
Which means there's no musical accompaniment, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Someone gets the pitch, and off you go from there.
Yeah. And it's exciting because you're listening to, instead of four instruments, you're listening to four human voices, and we assume that's the original musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
There are some popular groups that are doing a cappella sound. One that goes way, way back, and it's not always totally a cappella, is the Manhattan Transfer.
Oh, yes. Very famous.
Not quite the original lineup, because one of the original members has now died. Mm-hmm. But I think their earlier stuff was their best, and I still have a couple of CDs of their early stuff. But there's a men's group now, and it's got a really unusual name, and I don't have any of their music in my personal collection. It's like... It's like a bar drink. I don't know. It's like
shotting
a beer or something.
Are you referring
like that.
To Straight No Chaser?
That's what it is. Thank you. Straight No Chaser. And that's a men's a cappella group, right?
Yeah, and Straight No Chaser is the title of a composition by the great jazz composer Thelonious Monk, one of my personal favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they got the name. Straight No Chaser is a wonderful bop tune written by Thelonious Monk.
So it's kind of like Engelbert Humperdinck, who stole his name from... long ago.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the pop singer took his name from the classical composer, Engelbert Humperdinck. Mm-hmm. Straight No Chaser. I've seen him on TV. They've been on PBS a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him in person. But again, the popularity of a cappella singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know where I saw them too recently. They were on the NBC Rockefeller Center Christmas special. They did that live Christmas thing from Rockefeller Center with Tony Bennett singing in the snow. The guy's 90 years old. They got him outside singing. But Straight No Chaser was there, too.
And you remember, of course, Street Corner Symphony singing.
Oh, yes.
The urban movement of four guys standing under a street lamp and harmonizing.
Watching all the girls go by.
Yeah.
Rock Bottom, Men's A Cappella. Wednesday, July 5th, right after the holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, Gary Kleeman, in July?
July 12th, the following Wednesday, the Butler Symphony Percussion All-Stars. Now, that's mixing it up again. We've gone from strings to horns to voices, and this is percussion instruments, led by Julie Trudeau, the head of our percussion department. And, of course, percussion is not just drums. It's malleted or struck instruments, including marimba and xylophone, which are tonal instruments. So Julie and her group are going to demonstrate all sorts of percussion expertise, including the melodic percussion instruments, and that's always exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's a completely different sonic palette than what has come before. So they always do a wonderful job, and it's, again, a sort of peek into a specific branch of the symphony.
We're talking about the lineup. It's a wonderful lineup, folks. The Butler Symphony Association's Summer Lunchtime Concert Series in downtown Butler. The Symphony Office on the Diamond every Wednesday. Concerts begin promptly at noon, right?
Noon to 1, and they begin on June 7th, Wednesday, June 7th.
I'm going to ask Connie, you about the next group, July 19th, and with good reason, because we don't want Gary to feel uncomfortable.
Well, the next group on July 19th is Cloud Chamber. That is a fantastic guitar player and a fantastic violin player who play together. So again, it's a different kind of sound. And in the studio today, Dave, is the fantastic guitarist,
yes,
Gary Kleeman.
Gary and your partner, Christy Kex-Gamethi, on the violin. I have seen them play several times, actually. Most recently, they did a concert at Suckup Theater.
At BC3 in January.
Yeah, it was one of the Sunday local performers series. And it was a wonderful way to play, to spend a Sunday afternoon. And you guys played for a long time that day.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I think something unique about this group is that when I say, or when we say British and American folk music, maybe it's folk music from the 1500s or the 1600s. It's not Peter, Paul, and Mary, but it's original tunes from way back.
We're spanning the 1500s to the 1960s.
To the present.
Yeah.
Will you be giving a little bit of snappy patter between numbers so that people can have an idea what they're going to be hearing or what they just heard?
Yeah, we do that.
That's nice. It helps. Because not a lot of people are real familiar with that music.
And sometimes you hear a piece and you say, wow, that's from the 1500s, really?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting to know the history and to hear some of, you know, it's not very different from... It can be different from music today, but you look at it and you hear it and you say, I would have never guessed that that was an old Irish tune from 1623. Or I'm making that up, of course. But
no, you get to hear the continuity, and that was one of our intents with that.
Now, a lot of times that happens with classical music where people will they'll see a movie. And say, wasn't that gorgeous background music or theme music? And then when they find out that, you know, it was written by Beethoven or Brahms or somebody like that, they say, you're kidding me, really? Okay, that's July 19th, Cloud Chamber. And then the final Wednesday in July will feature who?
Jim Cunningham and his friends. And Jim, of course, is a fixture of Butler music. He is a great trumpet player, one of the symphony's trumpet players. And typically Jim brings up Andrew Yalch from Pittsburgh, who is a great jazz pianist. I'm serious about that. A wonderful, wonderful player. I'm always kind of thrilled to watch him and see his technique and ability. And an upright bass player. And also his brother, Bruce, who I have a deep and personal affection for. Bruce and I had played jazz for many years together as friends. And Bruce recently passed away this Sunday. Great loss to the local jazz community, and we've decided to dedicate this summer concert series to the memory of Bruce Cunningham, a truly great talent and a truly great player.
Well, that's wonderful. Nice gesture. Yeah.
And they will be playing straight-ahead jazz, and they are exceptionally good at it.
That takes us to the month of August. And we'll continue our preview look at the Summer Lunchtime Concert Series here on It's Your Turn in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today are our good friends at Schnorr's Greenhouse. They've been around for quite a while, folks, I guess. 125 years they've been the place to grow. Family owned and operated since 1889. That's not 1989, that's 1889. Well, that's tradition, isn't it? They're off Herman Road, just off Herman Road. Look for Schnorr Road by the RC Men's Club. Schnorr's Greenhouse, Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. And they are just exploding right now with color and wonderful aromas because they've got all the annuals there. They've got the hanging baskets that are just gorgeous. And vegetables, too. You know, most folks, well, you know, you can plant some vegetables a little early. But a lot of them are just getting ready right now. Right? As we get closer to Memorial Day, they've got a huge selection of vegetable plants from which you can choose as well. I want to tell you, any flower, any plant you can imagine, they've got it at Schnorr's Greenhouse. Beautiful color, beautiful aromas. Wonderful. They have gift cards, too, if you're looking for a nice gift for someone. Schnorr's Greenhouse, just off of Herman Road. Look for Schnorr Road by the RC Men's Club. For 125 years, it's been the place to grow. We're talking with two members of the Butler Symphony Board of Directors with us here in the studio today, Connie Downs, Gary Kleeman, and we are previewing this summer's lineup of artists who will be performing in the summertime Wednesday lunchtime concert series at the Symphony Office on the Diamond downtown. And best of all of these concerts are free. We're into the month of August already. And Gary Kleeman, what do we start off with on the first Wednesday in August?
We start off with my dear friend Tony Frocio and his son Nick. Tony is known to most folks in the community as Washboard Tony, but you know, we have this rule with the symphony is that when he performs at the symphony, he can't use Washboard. Washboard. He has to use Tony Frocio, given name. Tony and his son perform a mix of classic rock and roll, folk music, and some originals. For those of you who know Tony, Tony is a beautiful singer and a gifted percussionist. He's a delight to listen to, and he always puts on a wonderful show. And again, that's we've gone from jazz the previous week to more of a folk, and I would say kind of a gentle rock sound the next week. And I always enjoy listening to Tony's work.
Tom Wotus is next. Well, that name's familiar, but I can't quite place him.
I think you would like Tom, so I'm going to encourage you to take a vacation that day and come and see Tom. Tom is a pianist and vocalist. And sometimes he works in tandem with others, and sometimes he works strictly as a solo performer. He does a lot of 50s and 60s rock and pop music. Extremely good at it. Very adept at doing his own piano arrangements, and a very good vocalist.
Cloud Chamber is back on the 16th. Are you changing your lineup of music that day again?
Yeah, that's the other side of Cloud Chamber. That's the jazz side of Cloud Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than doing our folk music, we're doing jazz music from the Great American Songbook and from composers like Miles Davis and John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk.
Miles Davis. I love Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you'll love it on the violin.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we think it's unique when we do it on violin and 12 and 6-string guitar.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. The Collision Band on August 23rd. A whole band. Wow.
The Collision Band is a folk rock band with some great players in it. Tom Murphy, Ed Sabish. Tony Frocio again, who's percussionist and vocalist, or drummer and vocalist with the Collision Band. A very good multi-instrumentalist, Mark Palladino, playing the pedal steel guitar. And another guy on the guitar named Gary something, I forget his last name.
Maybe his name starts with a K.
It might start with a K. And the Collision Band specializes in 60s folk rock.
That would be, for example, Gary Kleeman.
The Beatles, the Byrds, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, all of your folk rock favorites from the 60s, courtesy of the Collision Band.
The Byrds. Turn.
Mm-hmm.
From Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
The NKC Trio is back with their wonderful combination on August 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And then to kick off the month of September, good friend of mine, Tom Penney.
Not only a great painter, but a great singer-songwriter, and a person who, again, performs by himself with his guitar and his vocals, and does a wonderful job performing both cover tunes and originals, an exciting performance by a very seasoned and talented professional.
That's a real talent to be able to get up on stage by yourself with a guitar.
By yourself,
yes. Some of my favorite, my personal favorite singer-songwriters do that. Tom Rush, he comes out carrying a guitar, and that's it. Sits on a stool, and that's it.
I think you and I have some personal favorites in common.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was just in Pittsburgh, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah. Tom Paxton in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Later this month. Another guy with just a guitar.
Yeah.
Tom is there September 6th. Jessica Sanzotti, pianist of tremendous skill, on September 13th. I've watched her, not only listened, but watched her play.
Mm-hmm.
Mesmerizing. She's a whiz.
Well, Jessica, of course, is part of the Zanzotti clan, which I contend is the first music clan of Butler, the top music clan of Butler. All of the Zanzottis are great players. All of them are great musicians. And, of course, everyone knows Claudette Zanzotti as being the area's premier music instructor for piano. And everyone knows her husband, Vince, as a great player, great composer, and a great performer. Again, he's one of the performers with the symphony.
Claudette's also a tremendous vocalist, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Who could argue with them being the first musical family of Butler?
Uh-huh. I call them the Von Trapps of Butler, and they insist that their name is really Zanzotti.
The next to the last Wednesday concert is September 20th, and who's playing there?
Jim Schaffner, my dear friend, tenor sax, great jazz tenor sax player. Again, from a family of musicians, all of whom are enormously gifted players. I don't think I've ever met a Schaffner who was not a naturally gifted and disciplined player. And Jim will be doing a jazz set with various friends, one of whom may include, again, yours truly, and some other folks playing bass and percussion. Jim, of course, is talented enough to carry a show on his own, but we're going to lend him some support anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The final Wednesday concert is to be announced. That'll be at the tail end of September. My goodness, it'll be almost time for trick-or-treat for that. Trick-or-treat for the family. What a wonderful extended season this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the longest I can ever remember.
Well, that last concert we may turn into a symphony-wide jam session just for the edification of everyone who's never actually seen all of these musicians congregate and make noise
at the same
time.
Yeah, bring your instrument and jam.
Mm. Speaking of, by the way, these concerts are all free, folks. Take a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Take a bag of lunch if you want.
Sure.
Well, you don't have to.
No.
Just enjoy the music either inside at the symphony office or right adjacent across the alley there and sit on one of the benches at Diamond Park or take a chair, whatever you want to do. Speaking of the symphony, the full concert season of the Butler Symphony Orchestra. I wouldn't exactly say it's just around the corner, but for those of you who are on the symphony board, obviously you've been
involved in this, ready to go.
The program, I don't know what you refer to it in music, in theater, it's called a playbill. You know, when you announce your whole season, say,
okay.
Here's the playbill. Is it the concert schedule, the season brochure?
No, I've been calling it the concert season or the concert schedule.
Mm-hmm. And the theme... this year is Worlds Apart. So
Worlds Apart. We are doing a Brahms, all Brahms show in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't have the schedule in front of me. Holiday Traditions will be having some high school choirs.
I just clicked on it, Connie.
Oh, thank you.
Here.
Help me out here, Dave.
Great American Songbook.
Old Cole Porter, Porgy and Bess. We'll have some vocalists for that concert. Holiday Traditions, and we're inviting two choirs, the Butler Choir and the Seneca High School Choir, again, to perform that.
And then the Planets.
Planets. We're going to do the entire Planets piece.
Gustav Holst?
Yes, correct.
One of my personal favorites.
And it's the only thing I know. I know just enough about classical music to be dangerous. I love it, but I'm not tremendously knowledgeable. Gustav Holst and the Planets is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fabulous.
And I think that we are planning for that concert images of NASA, images from space, and well as we'll have a special premiere. Dr. Stephen Barr from Slippery Rock University has written a piece, and it will premiere that evening.
Multimedia experience. Sci-Fi Spectacular in March.
That's going to be one of our Pops concerts, and that includes themes. I'm calling that themes from space movies. Star Trek, Star Wars, E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I call that the space show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's what I'm calling it.
Season finale is, you've got to have a choir, a chorus coming for this.
I believe that we have the Slippery Rock University choir coming for that. That's Carmina Burana.
You've sung that, haven't you, Connie?
I have, actually, yes.
That's a tough piece to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult.
And you've sung it as well, haven't you?
Very beautiful,
yes.
But it's very hard, Great season. Now, okay, so the brochure's out. Are tickets available yet for the symphony?
So tickets are available. We are pushing our tickets for season ticket holders. So people who were subscribers last year have the opportunity to renew their seats until August 7th. Technically, we're putting those on sale on June 5th, but we do have some people who have renewed their season already. We are in transition with our office staff, so we're processing the orders as we can. I want the listeners to know that we're not just taking your check and doing nothing with it, but we are processing those orders as we can. We're hoping to have a new full-time person in our office mid-June. So, be patient with us, but the schedule is on our website, the brochure is on our website, and if you're a current season ticket holder and you'd like to renew your seats that you had this past season.
Right of first refusal, so to speak.
Correct. And say, well, it's a benefit to renew early.
Yeah.
On August 7th, the tickets will be available to the general public through our website.
We are most fortunate, listeners, to have a rich tradition of music here in the Butler area, and we're extremely fortunate to have a symphony of the skill and size that we have for our size city.
Mm-hmm.
So, and look at this wonderful lineup of free concerts all summer long, every Wednesday at noon. Great. June 7th is the first one. Thanks, folks, for stopping by.
Thank you for having us, Dave.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure.
Gary Kleeman and Connie Downs visiting with us, members both of the Symphony Board, the Symphony Association. Coming up, stick with us here. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to talk about child development on the next segment of the program, specifically myths of child development, what you think you know, but you don't really know. There's what we know. There's the known unknowns, and don't get me started on that. That goes back too many years.
Yeah.
That's coming up next, and then this weekend's Spring Garden Market and Home Show. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on the program today. So stick around. We'll be back with more here on It's Your Turn on WISR Wednesday edition, back right after these words.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Does your pharmacy tell you your wait time for a prescription will take a half an hour or longer, or maybe won't even be ready until the next day? don't think this is your only option. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, we have made it a priority to take care of our customers' needs first because your time is precious. Most wait times are under 10 minutes. So don't you think it's time to make a switch to Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street, or find us on Facebook. Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Welcome, listeners. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Dave Malarkey is my name, and our guest for this segment visits with us by telephone. He is Stephen Hupp, and we're going to be talking about child development today, specifically a book written by Stephen Hupp called Great Myths of Child Development. First of all, Stephen, hello. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'd love to talk about parenting.
By the way, listeners, a little bit about our guest. Stephen Hupp is a professor of clinical child and school psychology at Southern Illinois University. Dr. Hupp is also a licensed clinical psychologist and a consultant for the East St. Louis Head Start program, so he knows of what he will speak today. I was fascinated by your book, Stephen Hupp, especially the way you approached it by talking about myths, because there are so many things that a lot of people think they know about child development, and they are, in many cases, 100% wrong.
Well, yeah, and I'm a parent myself, too, and there were a lot of things I thought I knew about kids and their development, and as a parent, but also as somebody who studies this, it kind of gave me motivation to dig deeper into a few topics.
You cover a few topics. You cover a wide range of topics. What's the structure of your book? How do you approach this, Stephen Hupp?
Well, for the most part, we've got 50 different myths. We start off kind of with the beginnings of children, and then we work all the way up through issues common for parenting. And some older kids, and we kind of tackle them one by one.
By the way, listeners, if you're looking for Stephen Hupp's book, his last name is H-U-P-P, double P, and again, the title of the book is Great Myths of Child Development. Well, let's talk about a couple of these that I marked. I found them particularly interesting, and obviously, listeners, there are many, many, many more of these in the book. But here's one, for example, and there are a lot of people who believe this. We're talking about the terrible twos, Stephen Hupp. This is a myth that most parents believe. Most toddlers go through a terrible twos stage. You say, well, yes, but they can also be terrible at other ages, too, when they're very young.
Yeah, I used to, when my son was one, I used to say he was advanced because he'd already entered the terrible twos phase. And I hear other people say their 3-year-old or 4-year-old is in the terrible twos. And just recently, Kanye West said he went through the terrible twos phase when he was 35 years old.
Huh. Well, it's one of those things that has a nice ring to it. You know, there's a lot of alliteration there, the terrible twos. And the vast majority of parents, over 80%, according to your book, gave very great importance to this. 83% believe this is a stage of childhood that occurs at a specific time, and you say that's just not true.
Right. We looked at research. Kids obviously can have behavior problems at 2 years old or some new challenging behaviors, but the same thing happens at 1 and 3 and 4 and even at 35.
Here's one that I've heard time and time again. I've even seen it dramatized in the media, in movies, and on TV. Within about 1 hour after birth, babies need to bond with their mothers so that attachment is stronger over time. Talk a little bit about that myth, Stephen.
Well, I've just been hearing more and more about this broader concept of attachment parenting, and this is one of the major components of attachment parenting, this idea that if mothers aren't able to bond with their babies right after birth, within an hour or so, then there's going to be lifelong damage to their relationship. And unfortunately, people who promote attachment parenting are doing this without really research supporting this idea that it's critically important to have this bonding within the first hour.
Is there more to attachment parenting than just this? I've heard that term as well, but I really don't have a definition for it.
Yeah, it's a broad approach. It's got a lot of different keys. So another example is that it encourages bed sharing with a baby and to promote attachment. Another component that we tackle in the book is this idea of extended breastfeeding. And so although breastfeeding is a good thing to do whenever possible, they're encouraging it for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, even some people 7 years. And that's where we start to think this is starting to sound like parenting poppycock.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was, I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, I think it was on the cover of Time magazine about
right.
two or three years
yeah.
ago, a startling picture of breastfeeding at an advanced age. And most people, it was, I don't know, it was just kind of the, you know, right away the reaction was, oh my gosh, you know, something wrong there.
Yeah, and the title on that cover, it said, "Are you mom enough?"
Yes,
which is
yeah.
this idea that attachment parenting is the best way to parent, and that was just with like a 3 or 4 year old on the cover, mm-hmm. And that's actually younger compared to some of the ages that they've encouraged.
Now you mentioned one other myth, and that had to do with bed sharing.
Right,
a lot of parents believe that that's important to bonding. You say, in fact, not only is that true, but studies have shown that bed sharing has been associated with serious harm.
Yeah, this is where I get into trouble. Sometimes parents think I'm trying to make them feel guilty if they've done this in the past, and if they have done it in the past and it didn't cause any physical harm, then, you know, no foul. But people should realize that especially with babies, this can put them at risk of being suffocated. The parent can roll over on them and not realize it when they're sleeping. And so the American Academy of Pediatrics, in the early months, does recommend sharing a room with a newborn, but not sharing a bed.
Yes, and we've had stories of those tragedies happening here in our area, unfortunately. And it's one of those things that parents never dream about, and then, wow.
Yeah, and then at the same time, we've got celebrities like Kourtney Kardashian on her video blog giving advice to parents about how they can co-sleep with their babies. And it's just unfortunate that celebrities sometimes take up the mantle of trying to give parents advice.
Now that you mention that, Stephen Huff, and listeners, if you're joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, our guest is Stephen Huff. That's H-U-P-P, Stephen Huff. He's the co-author of Great Myths of Child Development. Now that you mentioned one of the Kardashians, I want to point out that your book is geared toward the layperson, the parents, mothers and fathers, and you. This is not a Dr. Spock book. I don't mean to knock a guy who's way, way back there, but you have a lot of references and examples to current culture. I mean, even to current TV shows like, you know, Modern Family and Mad Men in your book.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably because one of my weaknesses is I just love to watch TV. And I love pop culture. And the same can be said for my co-author, Dr. Jeremy Jewell. And so a lot of those references are TV shows that we like to watch. You mentioned Modern Family. And then otherwise, sometimes in our classes, we'd bring up a topic, and then students would share pop culture references with us. So we were even able to work a Sex and the City movie in there as a pop culture reference, and Duck Dynasty, and we had a lot of fun ones.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that people realize that this is a modern approach, not to knock some of the past research and past guidelines, but this isn't a reprint of a book from 50 years ago.
No, and we do talk about people like Dr. Spock and previous ideas, but we try to focus it on how it applies to today's parent.
We're talking with Stephen Huff. His book is Great Myths of Child Development. You had one in here, and I'm searching because I marked this, Stephen, because it really threw me for a loop. Oh, here it is. And it's kind of a science-y thing, but it has to do with the sex chromosomes. And the myth is the sex chromosomes of all girls are XX and all boys are XY. Now, I thought that's what I remembered from my AP biology class, and you say that 80% of all parents believe those are the only possibilities, but there are other possibilities? Enlighten me on that. I never heard of that one.
Well, and this is the fun part of working on this book is you get to learn all kinds of new things, and that's what I learned in biology class too. And the thing is, a lot of what we learn in biology class is the kind of typical course of development, and so it's true that most girls are going to have two X chromosomes, and most boys are going to have one X and one Y. But as we discuss in the book, there's so many other possibilities. So there's rare situations where there can be a boy with two X chromosomes, or there can actually be a girl who has an X and a Y chromosome, or some people have three sex chromosomes, and there's actually a whole bunch of other possibilities.
Well, again, listeners, this is fascinating stuff. We have a few more minutes that we're able to chat about this with Stephen Hupp. We need to take a quick break. We'll do that, and we'll pick up our conversation here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today are good friends at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Well, it will soon be planting time. Maybe you already have a few of your garden plants in. Or maybe you're just turning the soil and getting ready to plant a little bit later this month. A lot of folks put the first garden plants in, the vegetables, around Memorial Day. Just a reminder, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank is once again running its How Does Your Garden Grow program, asking backyard gardeners to plant one extra vegetable plant and then to donate the fruit from that plant to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They don't want your whole garden. They just want a little bit. They've done this program for years, and it's been tremendously successful. So when you're putting the garden in, maybe one extra pepper plant or maybe an extra tomato, maybe a couple, And you say anything that comes off that plant, it goes to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They have a wonderful and very easy collection program that they'll be kicking off shortly. It hasn't started yet, but all you have to do is take your produce, your spare, your extra, to Society of St. Vincent de Paul collection location, which is right behind St. Michael Church on Center Avenue in Butler, and they collect there every Saturday morning, so it's very easy. And believe me, that's in the food bank for distribution the following Monday. It's ready to go. It's a wonderful thing, and if everybody chips in a little bit, they get a tremendous total of fresh produce for the needy. So think about it when you're getting your garden ready or when you're going to the greenhouse to get your plants. Get a couple of extra for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Welcome back, listeners, joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Welcome. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone today. He is Stephen Hupp. And we're talking about his book, Great Myths of Child Development. Let's talk about twins. You have, as I thumbed through your book, Stephen, you have a lot of myths and a lot of information about twins in here, including, and I've heard this for many, many years, that if, we've heard stories of twins who are separated sometimes by, thousands of miles, and one twin is in, a serious auto accident, and the other twin feels pain. Have you heard these stories?
Well, yeah, we kind of go through several of those stories, and there's a good Cheech and Chong movie called The Corsican Brothers, where one of the Cheech and Chong, they don't look identical, but one of them gets hurt, and the other one feels the pain, and so I was surprised. The surprising thing to me was that people have actually researched this with identical twins. They'll put one twin in one room and get the twin in the other room and do something startling to the first twin, or have them watch a scary movie or pop a balloon behind their head and see if there's any type of physiological reaction to the other twin in the other room. when you look at all the research that's been done, as much as people wanted to find a connection, they really could not find any type of connection like that.
And you could find no research that indicates that identical twins have some sort of a telepathic connection that originates in the womb?
Nope, could not find any research like that. Now, of course, twins can be close, and maybe in some cases closer than other siblings. They share the same genes and grow up together, but it's not a telepathic connection.
Obviously, identical twins look alike, you know, physically, if you look at two of them side by side. Do they, in fact, have identical genes?
This is one of the ones we added late as we kind of new research came out and we learned, that identical twins actually don't have identical genes. They've got very, 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 very similar genes, almost the same genes, but because of the way cells replicate themselves early in the process, the developing embryo, the cells start having little tiny mutations here and there. And so even identical twins have some small differences in their genes. So it's better to call them identical-ish.
There are more myths and more information about twins in here, but much more as well, listeners. I've heard stories about mothers-to-be, pregnant women who will listen to Mozart or watch... very, very highly intelligent and complicated DVDs. Does this help to help a developing Einstein in the womb, Stephen?
Well, and when my kids were littler, when they were little babies, we had those little baby Einstein videos that we'd pop in the DVD player or maybe in a car ride. And we didn't really do it with the idea of trying to promote their intelligence, but a lot of people do, and they do get marketed as educational products without research to show that they are really promoting a baby's intelligence or educational in some way.
More babies are born during a full moon. True or false?
Well, they've researched this, and actually one of the biggest studies in the whole book, it had like 500,000 participants in it, and looked at different dates of when babies are born and were they more likely to be born when there's a full moon because of this idea that the moon has the gravitational pull on the embryonic fluid. And actually, no, it's false. Babies are no more likely to be born on a full moon.
Joining us a little bit late, the listeners, on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we're chatting with Stephen Hupp about his book, Great Myths of Child Development. I'm going to speed on here through some of the older ages that you discuss myths. Here's one that we hear a lot about, Stephen, bedwetting. You talk about this in your book. Is this a sign of serious problems, or is it just something?
So it's pretty clear that bedwetting is a physiological condition, something that occurs biologically, and it's not a psychological issue. We do have a good treatment for it called the urine alarm that can cue the person when they have started to wet the bed, and then it starts to condition their body to wake up sooner. And so I like to use that just to say not only do we spend a lot of time debunking myths, but we try to give parents some research-supported resources for helping them deal with some of the issues we talk about in the book.
A lot of parents are worried about this, you know. Does this mean problems later in life or whatever? What about imaginary friends? Is that a sign of social emotional problems in children? I hope not, because I had imaginary friends when I was very young.
Well, if you watch a movie like The Shining or Sixth Sense, it is a really bad sign when kids start talking to people who aren't there. But when you look at research in the real world, about 65% or at least 50%, about half of kids do have imaginary friends. And just the fact that half of kids have imaginary friends is probably some good evidence that it's not a sign of problems. And in fact, there's actually some research that might have some good positive signs in terms of kids with imaginary friends tend to be a little bit more social.
Huh? Oh, boy, I feel relieved now.
So all this lifelong worry about your imaginary friend, you can now talk freely.
I actually don't remember them. my mom told me about it. We're discussing great myths of child development. What about when we get to kids who are even older? I mean, you talk about things like, divorce, for example. A lot of people think that divorce ruins most kids' lives. True or false, Stephen?
Well, it's false. Divorce obviously can be tough on kids, a hard thing for kids to have to go through. But when we, and especially for the first couple years after the divorce, research shows it's a difficult adjustment period for a lot of families. But research shows that that even when kids have gone through a divorce, most of the kids, or there's only just a slight increase of them having bigger problems after that. And so most kids who go through divorce can really be just fine with it. It's the bigger issue is how you handle the divorce and doing important things like making sure you're not putting the kids in the middle.
I just saw a story about this in a magazine a couple of weeks ago, Birth Order. In fact, there have been many books written about this. Anything to this deal about birth order? Is that a predictor of a child's personality in any way?
Well, the focus we have on the book is that there is some small areas where it can have a little difference, but it really gets blown out of proportion, and it's really not a very powerful predictor of who we are.
Some of the things that you talk about in the book, as our time begins to run short here, are not emotional concerns, but physical. And for example, a baby walker. Now, I had heard this. I was aware of the dangers of this, but I did not realize that they've been banned in a lot of places.
Yeah, that was something we learned, too. Baby walkers, the little wheeled devices we put 1-year-olds in or 6-month-olds in and let them start walking around the room. And a lot of people think that those baby walkers actually give their babies a chance to walk and help them walk sooner. And we found some research, well-designed research, that compared babies in a baby walker compared to babies who weren't in a baby walker. And those in the baby walker actually walked a couple weeks more slowly, if anything.
Huh.
And so, one, it doesn't help babies walk any sooner. And then that was one thing I learned while writing that myth, is that baby walkers are banned in Canada because of the safety concerns. They were particularly more dangerous in the 90s. I think they make them safer now, but there's still some dangers associated with them. And so it's even led to a baby walker black market in Canada, which I thought was fascinating.
I have to ask you about one more thing, baby talk. I got to be honest with you, Stephen Hupp. I cringe sometimes when I hear mothers or even aunts and cousins using baby talk. Is there any danger in that, or is it actually a good thing, the baby talk? What's the deal on that?
Well, if you're using baby talk with your high schooler and their friends see, I could imagine there's a little danger there. If you're not using baby talk with a baby, it almost looks a little strange just to try to have a conversation with a 1-year-old the same way you might with any other adult. And so that would be typically what we do with a baby. Even people who don't think they're using baby talk with a baby are actually using it. And so I think the challenging part is when does it stop? You know, obviously you don't go into high school, and that's where people start to feel uneasy is we've all got different ideas about when we might stop.
Listeners, believe me when I tell you that I have only scratched the surface of the information that's available in this book, Great Myths of Child Development. Other topics are discussed, autism, spanking, childhood vaccines, for goodness sakes, a lot of hot-button issues in this book. Stephen, where is it available? The usual places we find books, or is there a website, or what's the deal?
Yeah, it's available on a lot of online venues, Amazon.com. Target.com. They can see more about it on my website at StephenHupp.com, and it's Stephen with a PH.
Great Myths of Child Development is the title of the book. One of the co-authors, Stephen Hupp. We've been chatting with him for the past few minutes. Thank you, Stephen. Most interesting. Enjoyed the chat.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. A lot of great questions.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Pennsylvania's child protection laws have changed to help us better protect our children. Pennsylvanians who work or volunteer with children may need to get their child abuse clearances. Many of you know who you are, yet there are many of you who don't. You may be a Little League coach. You may be a nonprofit employee mentoring youth. You may be a student teacher. If you're not sure, there's an easy way to find out. First, go to this website, keepkidssafe.pa.gov. Second, find out if you need clearances. Then, apply online. Getting clearances is easier and less expensive than ever. Pennsylvania means business when it comes to protecting our children, and obtaining clearances is one way to ensure their protection. We need to take this seriously. So do your part. Find out if you need your child abuse clearances at keepkidssafe.pa.gov.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
There are two distinct periods in music history, the big band era and doo-wop. Put them together and you've got yourself one swinging night of entertainment. The 16-piece Pittsburgh doo-wop big band with vocal accompaniment will feature tunes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doors open at 6, showtime 7:30. Saturday, May 20th on the stage of Butler Intermediate School. Tickets are only $20 and can be picked up at Mays Music Store, Natilly's North, or Tanglewood. Online, PennTheaterButler.com. Proceeds benefit Penn Theater Performance Company.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the program today. And certainly nice to talk on this final segment of the Wednesday edition about a wonderful event that's coming up this weekend, this Saturday. It's the annual Spring Market Garden and Home Show at Alameda Park. And we have three guests with us to give you the details about it. Karen White is here from Penn State Extension. Karen, good to see you again.
Nice to be here.
On a summer day like this,
it's
huh?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Justine Brown is here, a friend of long standing. Justine, how are you?
I'm well, Dave. How are you?
And also Ashley Helmstetter is here from the Butler County Parks and Recreation Department. What's your title there, Ashley?
Aquatic and Program Director.
Uh-huh. So you're in charge then of helping to organize this big event coming up at Alameda Park on Saturday, huh?
I sure am.
Yeah. Well, nice to see you again. Nice
you
to have you
too.
Back with us. And boy, what a summer feel today, huh? Now, yesterday was nice. No complaints. We got up to, I think, 83 yesterday. But today felt like summer. Today smells like summer, doesn't it, when you're
it
outside?
Does. It's
kind of sticky and everything. You're getting ready to plant. And, boy, if you're not in the mood for that right now, you will be after you visit the show this Saturday. You're going to have them coming out of your eyeballs up there, aren't you?
Oh, Justine? We sure hope so. We have lots of things going on this year and lots of plant material and lots of children's activities and lots of craft vendors. So we're hoping lots of people come out and enjoy the day.
What are the details? The venue is Alameda Park. It's this Saturday. What are the hours?
It's from 9 to 3. Vendors will start setting up early in the morning. The public is welcome after 9 o'clock. So they'll be able to walk through the park, where the vendors are and not worry about traffic or cars or vehicles.
It's really a lovely venue for it, isn't it?
It is. It's perfect. Mm.
Now, Karen, you will not have seen this because you weren't here last year, were you?
That is correct. I have not. This is a first for me. Very excited.
Wonderful thing. And I'm sure you've been out to the park and checked out the venue and so on and so forth.
Yes.
It really is lovely for this sort of an event. And actually, what part of the park are you going to be using for this event on Saturday?
We are going to be at the Oddfellows Circle, which is just past Purple Park, and you'll be parking around the Purple Park, and if you can't walk, we will have shuttles that will take you right up to the entrance of the park.
So we're in the upper half of Alameda Park.
Upper half, yes.
The park that's just off Newcastle Road.
Right.
And the Purple Playground, which we affectionately call it, because it's purple, what else would you call it? It's right beside the swimming pool.
That's
so
correct.
Just down below that area in the
just
park.
Just below, yes.
There's a whole lower level, of course, but that won't be used for the event this Saturday.
Not this time, just for parking.
Is there an admission fee?
No admission fee. It's everything is free. Parking is free. Everything is free.
All of the children's activities are free, so you can have a whole day, not spend much other than at the plant sale.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, lunch.
Don't have to worry about the kids getting bored while you're browsing and shopping.
Oh, no. We have lots of activities for the children. We have beekeepers that are coming. There's a group of beekeepers from, they call themselves the beekeepers of ABCI, Allegheny, Butler, Clarion, and Indiana counties.
Hmm.
And they will be here to talk about bees and pollinators and the importance of them. And they'll bring honey and they'll have some samples for the kids. And they are a real educational group. Besides helping to mentor each other and support each other, they reach out to the children, and they're going to be a great resource for them.
We'll probably have some of those bee things there to show the kids, you know. I don't know what you call them, the slides that you pull out of the hive, you know.
Yes, I'm sure they will. They have a lot of things to show the children, and it'll be a great educational tool.
I wonder if we have anything new on there, not that you necessarily would know, but you know, they were worried about the collapse of the bee colonies all over North America and a tremendous concern about not having enough pollinators for gardens and for plants and everything else. I don't know whether they've been able to stop that or whether they've got any conclusions on their research or not. I know they've been looking at it very carefully.
I think the fact that there's so much attention is certainly helping to repopulate. Beyond that, I don't have a whole lot of insight right now. I know that that's something that one of our master gardeners is researching and doing an article for the paper.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I might like to talk to that master gardener sometime this summer.
All right.
That's such a fascinating subject. It was just a cursory kind of a headline thing in one of the Wire stories recently, and as they've been doing their research, trying to figure out why the bee colonies are collapsing, they've branched into all sorts of other areas, like how do bees find their way back to a hive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they leave in the morning and start pollinating, going from flower to flower, how do they find their way back? It's pretty amazing.
It is.
There's all sorts of theories. In fact, there's all sorts of theories about, radio waves damage the bees? Will that harm them in any way? And you know, there's a lot more radio waves than there were 10 years ago because of all the smartphones that everybody has one now. Let me know about that when that paper's done.
I will,
Karen. I'd like
absolutely
to,
do
like
that.
To talk to that person. It's one of the master gardeners, you say?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Karen White is in charge of the Master Gardener program, right, here at the Butler Penn State Extension Office?
I do my best. It's like reining in cats.
If people are interested in perhaps becoming a Master Gardener, thinking about it, exploring it a little bit more, will there be information on that this Saturday up at the park?
There absolutely will. There will be lots of Master Gardeners there to answer questions, as well as we'll have handouts that somebody can take away if they're interested to come to the open house in August, and then the classes begin in October.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit about there's another part to this, in addition to the Spring Garden Market. There's a home show as well, Ashley Helmstetter. What's that all about?
We have multiple vendors that will be coming in and offering any kind of information on your home, such as our leaf filter systems. We will have home solutions, GB trees will be coming if you're having a tree issue. Just multiple things that if you feel there's something around the home that needs repaired, or that if you're quite confused on how to fix, Written Hour is one of our big sponsors as well, and he will be there.
So they'll, these participating vendors will have like a little booth or a table or something with the
Yes.
probably a demonstration of some of their wares and that sort of thing.
Yes, everybody will have a booth to themselves, and we have 60-plus vendors at the moment.
Oh, I didn't realize there was that many. Oh,
we're still receiving more as we speak.
60 is enough. That'd be enough for me to visit in one late morning or afternoon. By the way, you can stay as long as you want, right, until the show is over. So if you want to browse around, that's fine. What if I want to buy some plants early on, but I still want to stay for a while? What do I do, Justy?
The 4-H kids are going to be there again, as they usually are, and they'll plant sit for you. So if you're shopping and you buy things that are obviously very heavy and you don't want to cart them around, they have wagons. They'll bring their wagons. They'll take them to a safe area up by the parking, and so they'll plant sit them for you while you shop and continue to shop.
So it'd be like a plant check, just like a coat check when you're going to the theater or something.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's
a
good idea.
That way you can buy lots of plants and not have to worry about carrying them around.
Wonderful idea. And did you say, Karen, I think it was you that I was talking to, maybe not, are there shuttles available for people who, I mean, it's not that far to walk from where you park.
No, but it is when you've been walking around the park all day and shopping, the shuttle is a very nice thing to take you out to your car.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be two shuttles running.
Okay. Well, you won't have to wait very long for that then. Yeah. I've been talking about Master Gardeners with Karen White here. I should not assume that everyone knows what a Master Gardener is. Tell us a little bit about that, Karen.
So the primary focus of Master Gardeners is to educate the community about gardening and sustainable ways of helping the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the community and teach about poison prevention in the first grade classrooms of the elementary schools.
I didn't know you did that.
We do. Yeah. We do. It's a part of the Penn State Extension service that we offer. We also go into the community and educate different groups. So we might go to a women's club. We might go to a Rotary. I know that we have an event coming up at the library this Thursday evening, the Mars Library. So the different library sessions that we have, just, again, to educate the public about different portions of gardening.
So can groups interested in having a speaker, can they, like, call you?
We'd love for them to reach out. We're happy to take them on and come to their event. We also have education for our internal Master Gardeners. So there's roughly 85 Master Gardeners, and they once a month get together for our business meeting, but additionally for at least an hour, hour and a half of education. So they're continuing to up their game in learning about different gardening methods and different plants.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there were that many, Justine. That's a nice 85.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're having we didn't have a class last year,
mm-hmm.
For one reason or another, but we are offering the classes again this year. So if people are interested, by all means, call Karen at the Extension office, and I'll give you that number. It's 724-287-4761. And they will be given information.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking up in the phone book, look under Penn State. That's what I always tell people, because sometimes they don't know where to look.
It's very hard to find that number, actually.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. So look under Penn State. Can never go wrong there. by the way, this is not something that you want to do on a whim or at the drop of a hat. It's a serious commitment to becoming a Master Gardener. There's some time commitment involved here, Karen.
It is, Dave. The classes themselves are from October, I believe it's the 5th, it's a Thursday evening, all the way through March of the following spring.
October, November, December, January, yes, like 6 months.
Right,
yeah.
And it's every Thursday evening.
Once a week for
6 months. It's a three-hour evening of education.
What are you learning about? Soil types and that sort of thing, how to water, how not to water, how not to fertilize?
You are correct. Uh-huh. Diseases that plants have, how to prune your trees and woody shrubs. just a whole host of things, you know, just how naming of plants and how that all came about. Mm-hmm. So it is a full and encompassing class. The book that they get, that each of us get, is just gorgeous in terms of the illustrations. It is new. It just came out last fall.
And this is all curriculum, I'm sure, developed by the university.
That is correct. Yeah. All of our PhDs and other sources have contributed, and it's just a wonderful book. A very nice way to learn and digest the information.
You have to take a test, Justine, at the end?
You do have to take a test. Really? At the end of each semester, I think there's a test. And there's a test at the end, but you learn enough throughout the semester that the test is not as hard as you might think.
Yeah, but it's a test, though. You're nervous when taking a test. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people are, but it's amazing how much you learn in the classes, and they help you through it.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a commitment even after you pass the test, Karen White.
That is correct. You then want to share that information. So again, educating the public. There's a commitment of 50 hours the first year of volunteer service. And from there, as you continue on as a master gardener, it's 20 hours of commitment to being a volunteer and 10 hours of further education. So it is an ongoing learning as well as, you know, giving program. You're giving back to the community.
Nicely. Are you a master gardener?
I am not.
Do you garden at all?
I couldn't tell you a weed from a flower. I could not. But I'm learning a lot. We even do master gardening classes that will come up in the fall this year. And I've been to several of those, so I'm learning a lot. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about this Saturday, folks, and all of this is Wednesday already, so yeah. It's coming up here in just a few days. The Spring Garden Market and Home Show, which is presented by Butler County Parks and Recreation, which is why we have Ashley Helmstetter with us here today. Now, you also are involved. This is kind of a little different subject, but while we have you here, let me ask. You're the aquatics program director, right?
Yes.
So, like the swimming pool programs and everything like that?
Yes.
So, you know the big question. When's the swimming pool going to open at Alameda Park? Do we know yet?
Yes. Opening date is June 3rd.
June 3rd.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 12 o'clock to 12:15 will be early entry advantage for members. And then at 12:15, all patrons can enter the water park until 7 p.m.
So if you're a member, you can go early, huh?
Yes, if you're a member, you get that advantage.
And I refer to it as the pool. Is it officially the Alameda Water Park now?
It's officially a water park now, mm-hmm. Yes.
So what's been added to make it a water park from years ago?
All the play features plus the splash pad, the two extra slides, and the rock wall. Just a little bit of more of a play station than just a pool.
What's a splash pad?
Splash pad is our pirate ship with dumping buckets and cannons that spray.
Is that for kids or kids of all ages?
Kids of all ages. Really? Everybody's a kid at heart, right?
Mm-hmm. I've seen that some parents prefer that for little kids as opposed to what they used to call a kiddie pool.
Yes. Yeah, there's not as much danger associated with a splash pad as there is with the water. Mm-hmm. A child could essentially get hurt in just an inch of water, so... really, it just kind of helps the parent be a little bit more at ease because the water is more controlled.
Are they just regular diving boards to get into the pool itself?
There are diving boards, yes. We have two of them.
Slides?
We have three slides.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big operation there, huh?
It is a big operation. We're pretty proud of it.
Yeah. June 3rd.
June 3rd.
When I was a kid, the swimming pool's all open on Memorial Day weekend. Don't they do that anymore?
Unfortunately not, no. Normally, weather wasn't cooperating.
Well, that's for sure. It was too cold the first half of May to go outside without a coat on, for goodness sakes, let alone think about swimming.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So June 3rd, that would be the weekend right after Memorial Day.
Weekend after Memorial, yes. Yeah, okay. And with Butler School District getting out so late, that's definitely part of our issue.
That's a big clientele, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What about special programs this summer? Are any of those being lined up for the either the pool area or the park in general?
Absolutely. We have everything lined up and ready to go. Our free outdoor concert series is back. Our free outdoor discovery is back for children. And we also have the volleyball ready to go, frisbee ready to go. Moonlight swims are back in. So it's all coming together.
Can anybody remember moonlight swims? Huh? Karen's looking at me. No? You never went to one?
No.
Justine? Never went to one?
No.
I guess we aren't as wild and crazy as you, Dave.
I guess. I've got some pretty fond memories of the Moonlight Swims. Tell you that. I'm glad you still have them anyway.
Yes, we still do.
By the way, you mentioned members and then the general public. So yes. Well, these are people that buy, what's a member, buys a season pass to the pool? Is that the deal?
Right. Anybody who purchases a water park pass is considered a member. And then that member rate will get you discounts as far as swim lessons. You get the early entry advantage into the water park, and then you also get free moonlight swims. So,
can you still buy those, or have we passed the deadline?
Nope, you can certainly purchase them.
Where do you get them?
Down at the park office at the bottom of the hill, 184 Alameda Park Road.
Okay, it's kind of halfway into the park there.
Yes.
Well, you can only go into the park one direction now.
You can. You can't get lost.
Yeah, the vehicular around. Entrance to the lower road was closed off some years ago.
It's been closed. And
okay, so bottom of the hill.
Yes.
That's where the office is.
To the right-hand side, yes, absolutely.
Your season passes. We need to take a break. I want to talk a little bit more about the upcoming weekend event, the Saturday. This is one day only, right? It's just this
one
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more with our guests about it here on It's Your Turn on WISR Wednesday edition, right after we check the lottery numbers and have a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 2424. The pick 3, 000. The pick 4, 1694. The pick 5, 45934. And the wild ball for each of those is 0. The treasure hunt, 1, 2, 14, 24, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us. We're talking about some of the many things. And I tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on Saturday at the Spring Garden Market and Home Show. So I want to make sure we cover all the bases here. Number one, Ashley Helmstetter, there will be music, right?
There will be music. We're going to have Muddy Creek there performing from 9 a.m. To approximately 2 o'clock p.m. with breaks in between, and they will be there for the entire day, and we're excited to have them. And then at 2:15, we will have Master Connell's ATA Taekwondo coming to perform.
A little demonstration of Taekwondo.
Exactly, a demonstration.
Lots of live music.
Yes.
And we don't want to give short shrift to the children's activities, because there's going to be a bunch of those, right?
Right, there are. We have a lot of children's activities this year. The Blue Sox are one of our sponsors. Excuse me. And the Ox will be there. They're going to be bringing some activities for the kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be bringing merchandise to sell.
Babe the Blue Ox, the Blue Sox mascot, which is, by the way, an outstanding mascot. That ranks right up there with any of the major league mascots, as far as I'm concerned. So lots of stuff for the kids to do. Keep them smiling during the day. And we certainly want to mention the fact that there'll be a tremendous variety of flowers and plants, Karen White.
That is correct. So we tested you the last time on perennials and annuals.
And I failed miserably. Yeah.
These will be primarily perennials, which means they live on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we have actually some offerings that have not been offered in this area but are native to this area. And so if you are a true gardener connoisseur, there are a number of plants that you'd be very interested in. Some of the ones that I think are very beautiful and I intend to be in line for are the Natives Jacob Ladder, beautiful purple flowered plant.
Oh, you've got some pictures there. They are gorgeous.
I do have some beautiful, gorgeous pictures. But they're deer resistant. A lot of the things that the chair folks have picked are rabbit and deer resistant. You know, they're the kinds of things that they don't love to eat. Mm-hmm. I know I put in a couple of things just last weekend, and my rabbit is having a feast. Mm. So a lot of these things will still thrive, even though the rabbit and deer are chomping on them.
And these are the perennials. So they come up out of the ground by themselves every year.
Correct. And some of them spread and naturalize so that you can have an area that the flower will give you even more in the upcoming years.
Anything else besides Jacob's Ladder?
Yes, we have native foam flower. One of them that I think is quite beautiful, it's wonderful for hummingbirds and for butterflies, is the Arizona Sunset. I'm just giving some of the common names that are used.
Don't use the Latin names because we wouldn't know what they are anyway.
That's right. At least for me, I wouldn't. You know, we have plants that'll thrive in very dry soil, in wet soil. So you've got master gardener experts there who have done research, and in some areas will have combinations that they've put together that would work well in a bed in a certain type of area of your yard. Mm-hmm. The leopard's bane is quite beautiful. It gives you a bright yellow shock. I'm thinking to put that with some of the purple flowers that we have.
Nice, you know, combination, yellow and purple.
I agree. I like that. But again, if you have an interest in certain birds, and you know, hummingbirds are just so wonderful to have come around and help pollinate, butterflies, have your bees, all of these things will be available. And, you know, like Justine was saying, the 4-H'ers will be happy to plant sit them, and then they'll help you to, as you pull your car up, valet them up to the area so you can get them easily.
And some of these will even be in display so you can get an idea what they would look like if
they will.
Put
we
them
will
in
have,
your flower bed.
Have pictures, and it gives all the details as to how big, what the soil is that's required. And again, you have experts right there. The master gardeners will mm-hmm. be there offering you their expertise. If you buy something and you need any assistance, you can call at any time on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday and get a bit of information.
And perhaps most importantly, these are plants that are native to this area, so they will tend to do well here, Justine, as opposed to, you know, you might be buying something that grows very well in the Piedmont of North Carolina, but not so much here.
Exactly, because we are in a specific zone, and you know as well as I do, the weather here is much different than it is even in West Virginia or even mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh. So the natives in Western Pennsylvania are meant to be grown here. And a lot of the things that the big box stores are grown in other areas and then brought here looking lovely, but they might not last very long, mm-hmm. very well here.
No admission charge, folks, for the Spring Garden Market and Home Show this Saturday at Alameda Park. Is this a benefit for the Master Gardeners, Justine?
It is. It's our major fundraiser for the year. Mm-hmm. So we put a lot of effort into it. The girls that are chairing the plant sale and the Master Gardeners have been working very hard at coming up with good quality plants for the public to buy. And we have a lot of other plant vendors that will be throughout the market. So we're hoping a lot of people come out and buy lots of plants. There will be we don't have very many annuals, but there are a lot of other vendors that will.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have organics. Some of them have heirloom plants. So there's a lot to be had for everyone.
There'll be flowers and plants and perennials galore, in addition to 60-some vendors who will be there displaying their wares, products, and services.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Plus, we have some great food vendors, Dee's Dumpling, R&J Concession. We have a new one, Hot Mama Pierogies.
Hot Mama.
We're pretty excited about that one. Lindor Bakery. And we also have our Butler Garden Club, which does their traditional mushroom sandwich, which is always a huge hit.
Now you see why this is such a great day at the park, folks. This Saturday for the 2017 Spring Garden Market and Home Show. Presented by Butler County Parks and Recreation. We thank Ashley Helmstetter for being here with
thank
us again today.
Thank you for
having me. And benefit the Penn State Master Gardeners, one of whom is Justine Brown, another of our guests. And Karen White, who coordinates the Master Gardener program for Penn State Extension. You're a Master Gardener yourself, too, though, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being here, one and all.
Thank you, Dave, for having us.
We hope to see you Saturday.
I hope to be there, yeah. I might be there early.
And then go golfing.
You know me too well, Justine. You know me too well.
Well, we open at 9 o'clock. We hope to see you then.
My tea time is not till later in the day. So. hey, coming up on tomorrow's program, we have some open talk time to begin with. Who else? Debbie Kaler will be here tomorrow from the VNA. Wonderful, wonderful programs there. And then special guest tomorrow on the 1:30 segment, Malachi McCourt. Ring a bell with anybody? No? Remember Frank McCourt, who wrote Angela's Ashes several years ago? Wonderful book, very sad book. It was about his mother living in poverty in Western Ireland. Turned into a film. He became quite the literary sensation, the late Frank McCourt. This is his brother, Malachi. And they used to perform together. They did a little two-man show. I saw them once many, many years ago. Malachi will be with us tomorrow, chatting with us by phone. He's not in Butler, but we'll be talking with him on the phone. So I look forward to that. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Summertime day. Temperatures are expected to come close to 90. It's 85 right now, so we're getting there. It's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. News coming up for you next, and don't forget tonight, it's a hockey night in Ottawa, Canada, as the Penguins play the Ottawa Senators. We'll have the game right here on WISR with Mike Lang calling the live radio play-by-play. 7:30 airtime for Penguin warm-up here on WISR tonight. News coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 here on It's Your Turn on WISR.